Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to the new time, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon. As always, I'm here with Adrian, and behind the glass over there is Andrew. We also have a special guest today, Ara.
Hey, what's up, Alon?
Good to have you in the studio. Thank you very much.
I'm happy to be here.
So, it's a new time, 9 p.m. Monday nights, but it's still the same old one-hour show. And for those listening to the podcast, really nothing has changed except took you an extra day to get it. So, here's what we're going to talk about this week. Last week, you remember what we talked about, Adrian. You were here.
Was I? I don't remember.
Do you recall? Sometimes you have a hard time with that.
The 60s weren't good to me.
Okay. Yeah, it was tough not being born yet, huh?
Yeah.
I understand that. All right, so last week we had Sharon in the studio.
Oh, yeah, the hot chick.
Oh, yeah, that's what people seem to call her.
Yeah. The hooker.
The not hooker. So people really reacted very well to the show. They enjoyed it. They liked the fact that it was a little bit different. It was doing something different than other podcasts out there. Introduced the old experiment.
We actually sound like we know what we're doing on radio.
Well, we do a good job of pretending.
Yeah.
So even Nathan Smart, he's had some good things to say about it. We'll hear from him later in the show today. He has his take on the experiment. I don't know what to call it. We should give it a name.
Operation Hot Chick.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's our excuse to hang out with hot girls. Well, not even my excuse.
You weren't even there, dude.
Yeah, I wasn't invited.
I didn't invite you.
I'm a part of the show. I come in all the time. I'm helping him out. I can't even get invited over to his house to play video games. How messed up is that?
You can come over. You know, I'm borrowing a 360 now. You can come over and play that. Prey will be out soon.
I have one. I can play that at my house.
All right, fine.
We can do System Link. You
want
to try
that?
You
can play all the video games I've got in my house at your house, too.
Yeah.
But you want to come over and play.
I want to
hang out with the hot chick.
Yeah, with the hot chick.
Listen, there was a woman from Craigslist who contacted me about the video game stuff.
Sure.
And Sally. I don't know. I doubt she'll be listening to the show. But, you know, she said, oh, that because I posted for people to come play. Do the experiment style thing.
Where did you post it? The discreet encounters?
No, and that's casual encounters.
That just shows you that who knows about what's going on at Craigslist.
That's right. So anyway, no, I don't even remember where I put it. Platonic, I think?
Yeah. Not sure.
So like, come over and try this idea I've got. And anyway, so I got some guy, some old guy. I don't remember his name. David, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, and Sally's all excited. She's gonna join us next time we do this. So I'm thinking sometime next month we'll get over people. This weekend, all right, you and I were hanging out.
That's right.
And something amazing happened. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to tell the story.
A couple amazing things happened, I think.
So we're hanging out, going to dinner, and our friend John, the one who came with the hot chick,
okay,
Sharon,
okay,
to play at my house the other night, he was with us, right? And Ara and I were commenting on how much of a man's man John is. He's the Mac. He can get the ladies, but doesn't. He's a nice guy, right? Because I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with it. So anyway, we're commenting on this. We get in the car in the garage. We're about to leave. R and I are in one car. John's in a separate car. And we see a girl walk through the garage. And what did I say about her?
You made some comment about her shirt. What was that?
Just about her dress in general. I was like, see, the reason I could never talk to that girl is because she wore a really bad outfit. And I would just insult her without realizing it. So I'm commenting on her negatively. And so we start driving away, and John's supposed to follow us because we're not sure he knows exactly where he's going. And we get right up to the ramp to go up, out of the garage because we're in the lower level. And Ara says, wait, where's John? Is he behind us?
He's not behind us.
Whatever. I don't know where he is. Wait a second. Unless he's picking up that chick, go back. Right? So he reverses the car. His M3, by the way, it's very strange. Someone in the forums was talking about that. So
yeah, how do they know about that?
I don't understand it. So anyway,
stalkers.
We back up the M3, and we see John's car staring at us, bright lights, and this girl, this college girl, half his age, leaning over into the passenger seat. He's talking to her. And then we see him in traffic, stopped at a red light. He waves their number at us. And then he's like, on the phone, he says to us, yeah, she and her friend's getting off work soon. They're going to meet us at the LAN party. because we were hanging out at a LAN party all Saturday.
Yeah, that makes it even more impressive, the fact that we were at a LAN party.
Yeah, and it wasn't a surprise. He didn't say, come hang out at a party, and then, like, they were introduced to the geekdom, right? He said, come play Guitar Hero, right? So there was no, like, he wasn't making them guess. He wasn't playing games. It was like, well, you understand what I meant, right? He just said, come play Guitar Hero, and he got two college girls to come hang out with a bunch of geeks at a LAN party.
Okay, first...
Amazing to me.
First thing up, don't make fun of a girl's outfit unless you're with a girl. Because that's the only way, like, if you're with a girl and you see a girl that looks good, you can be like, oh, look at her outfit. That's the only time you really need to make fun of a girl, is when you want to look at her when you're with your girl. That's first average
advice. Did you listen to what I said, Tracy?
Yes.
I was in a car. I wasn't talking to her.
I don't care. You just said, oh, wow, look at the rack on that girl. I don't care what she's wearing. Was she hot? Yes or no?
I wouldn't turn her down.
Okay, then you don't need to, don't care about what she's wearing.
Well, yeah, because the point is that she wouldn't be wearing it for very long. But
exactly.
So, but it was amazing to me.
But you described him. He's the average gamer.
Right? John?
Yeah.
But not the average.
But not the average man.
No, it's cool that he picked up. But he's a first-person shooter fan. He probably plays Madden. He's an average gamer. So he knows girls, unlike you.
Yes.
Okay, that's...
What do I know? Bishibashi.
Yes. So you got to have an average gamer. That's why I'm on the show.
Yes.
I'm here to be the average gamer.
A mainstream gamer. Well, listen, I always knew that you filled a certain hole in my life. Ho-ho! Look where I'm going.
That's pretty gay.
Oh.
Did you just come out of the closet there?
No. Okay. So, where were we? It's not story time anymore.
It's the 9 o'clock Sunday that just got us off topic.
So that's what's been happening with us. R and I were hanging out, and those girls, they actually came by, and for 2 hours they hung out with us.
There's a LAN party for Guitar Hero.
You remember the Desert Bash? It went the big LAN party that happens once a year.
Yeah.
Right. They got it actually sponsored by Intel, and for some reason I was very neglectful and I forgot to mention it on the show for this Desert Bash 5. But they got sponsored by Intel and they did a big thing at the Intel campus in Chandler, here near Phoenix.
But Guitar Hero?
We brought the projector, dude. We had Guitar Hero, Guitar Freaks. We had Rez, Beat Mania.
We were jamming all night long.
Dude, there's a bunch of people playing Battlefield and Counter-Strike.
But you're at the Guitar Hero.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, of course. I mean...
Listen, that's a step up on the hierarchy, all right? I don't want you to give me crap about it.
You're playing Guitar Hero at a huge LAN party where Battlefield and all... Oh, God.
I'm providing people with the option away.
All right.
The fun. That's what we're doing. The fun. Not the tournament. Not the sweat dripping down. People, you know, their hands shakingly grabbing the balls next to their keyboard.
Doing shots or something with it? Like if you lost, you had to do a shot of tequila or something?
That's balls the drink, not the... Yeah.
I think they understood.
Well, we could do a balls the drink / vodka.
I heard they were going to have snowballs there, and they didn't have that. All right. We're seriously off topic. Good thing the segment's also almost over so we can collect ourselves.
I think
this
is a good segment.
We got to talk about the games. Here's what we're going to talk about later in the show, right? We're going to talk about how the experiment went. We didn't even mention this, right? You have a background in games. You actually work in the game industry. And so you have a lot of opinions.
This is true.
Might even be valuable on the right day. And so we're going to talk about the experiment, what we all thought of it, how we think it went, and what we could do better next time. Because certainly there's going to be a next time, and it will be better. I hope.
We're going to focus on...
Maybe we'll break out shots.
Less games.
Less games, more drinking.
Yes.
Yeah, this will turn into...
Well, if they're hot chicks, maybe they'll get naked.
This will turn into a totally different show very quickly. I don't know if our fans will enjoy that, but feel free to let us know. You can go to chatterboxgameshow.com, and there's an email link right on the page. You can even go to our forums. There's also a button for that. All right, so we're going to talk about the experiment. We're also going to talk about, since we've got R on the show, talk about a little bit of what goes on in the game industry and some experience he's had with things he's worked on in the past, without going into too much detail about specifics, just generally speaking about the industry and some of the ups and downs, the goods and the bads that come along with it. And, of course, we're always welcoming your phone calls. Certainly, if you have anything to talk about regarding last week's show, like I said, it was a hot topic. Everybody really enjoyed it, and I'm sure you all have your opinions. And, you know, feel free to call in and just yell how much you thought Sharon was hot. 866-536-1100. We're going to be taking your calls all evening. We'll be back in just a minute. So then after they came back to the apartment, it was crazy wild. You wouldn't believe it, dude. But
and I still don't get a phone call.
He's amazing. Now, anyway, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, otherwise known as Chatterbox Gone Wild, as the people in our chat room say. You can always visit chatterboxgameshow.com, go into our live chat, set up a name for yourself, a pseudonym, a handle, whatever you like. Now, before we continue, I got to remind everybody, go to uat.edu if you're interested in getting into the industry. That's certainly one way to do it. There's lots of places, but uat.edu is the one I went to. That's the University of Advancing Technology, for those in the know, or rather not in the know. So let's get started here. Last week, I had a very wonderful lady on the show. Her name was Sharon. Mid-30s woman, doesn't play games really ever. Friend of a friend of mine who does play games. Had them both over to my house the day before the show. Said, all right, we're going to do this like a speed dating course. We're going to play this game, we're going to play this game, we're going to play this game, and this game, and this game. All right, games that neither of them really ever played. I included some games that people had never heard of, some games that other people had heard of, but these people certainly hadn't, and some other more common stuff like puzzle-style games, right? So we had like Rez, we had Bust a Move, which is actually a fairly simple puzzle game that a lot of people have played. Even played Trivia Game, You Don't Know Jack. I hope we've all played You Don't Know Jack. Have you?
Yeah.
Adrian?
Yeah.
All right, good stuff.
I like the guy game better.
I hope you have.
Actually, I haven't played that game.
Oh, wow. All right.
Did you play the guy game at least?
First stop on the Elan bandwagon.
I haven't even played that game. I'm sad to say.
The guy game is good. Nobody else liked it. I like it. You and I have played it together,
yeah.
Right? Oh, it's good times. All right, so anyway. We played these games. I got Trivia. I got weird Japanese stuff.
And, of course, Guitar Hero.
Funky music games. And then Guitar Hero was the way we capped off the evening. People who were tired, didn't want to keep playing, they got up, they loved that game. And smiles on their face. So it's a social experience, that game. And so we had Sharon in to come in and talk about it and be like, all right, well, you know, what did you think? And she really enjoyed it. Now, I had certain expectations. And I'm curious, like, Ara, in your opinion, I mean, you have a lot of games like I do.
True.
I was at your place. I saw your collection. Right? Very envious of certain ones. You have the NECFX, am I right about that? Is that
what
it's called?
Yeah, in a box, which hasn't been opened
for
the past 2 years. I think I have like one game, and it's like a demo disc.
All right.
Very
Fantastic.
Exciting.
Yeah, that's like my parents' house. I left all that stuff back home.
I think the best thing about that console is the shape.
It's actually really weird. But anyway, since we can't show the shape on the radio, let's move on. If you have people over and you want to introduce them to games, and a woman specifically, would you think the puzzle games would be the ones to really catch her most, or like other more obscure games like Rez and Guitar Hero? What do you think would really interest her most?
Well, certainly, I mean, you know, someone who hasn't been playing games for very long or just doesn't play games. I mean, obviously, the games with simpler interfaces are probably most appropriate to introduce to them, right? So.
Well, it was a requirement for me. Every single game had to be simple.
Right.
And
so,
with the exception of Guitar Hero, you might say that's not simple, but because it's different and more natural in terms of something that she might have experienced in life, I allowed it.
It's still pretty simple, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, Metal Gear Solid, where, like, all 12 buttons on the controller are being used, and, like, each one has three different functions, and,
yeah.
You know.
So. Certainly, simple control was important, and I took that as a given for each and every game. But to my surprise, we tried out, I mean, like I said, puzzle games, then we had Rez, which is really different than most games out there. And, I mean, we know gameplay-wise, it's basically Panzer Dragoon,
mm-hmm.
right? Although even simpler than Panzer Dragoon. But it introduces all sorts of, like, color and sound and touch with the trans-vibrator thing. And, of course, the controller vibrates by itself, too, right?
Yeah. You like that, don't you?
I do. You didn't see when we were at the LAN party. I tried out the trans-vibrator. Anyway, that's a story for first segment. Didn't make it in. Chatterbox coming up.
We have to move on now.
Yeah, we do. And so I was really interested in the fact that I expected the girl to be interested in the puzzle games, because historically that's what's always happened to me. And I learned when I was at IU, like one of the things my video game professor said was that, you know, girls really enjoy games that involve making things neat, right?
Yeah, actually, I have a few comments about that, if I may.
That's what you're here for.
So, yeah, so, like, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of stereotypes, right? I mean, you know, that's one of them, you know? they say, okay, girls like, you know, it's this type of game, guys like that type of game.
But it's proven. I mean,
well, I mean, if you look at it on the macro scale, like, okay, you mean you're going to see some patterns, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to have, like, ask any person at random what they think about something or what their impression is about something, and it even just goes beyond games, I mean, you really, it's just a crapshoot, right? I mean, you know, maybe like, you know, 60 or 70% of girls would like that type of game, right?
I've had like nearly 100% success so far. Breaking out Bust a Move, I haven't seen anybody dislike it. And lately, I've had people not really like the puzzle games, which is surprising.
It's because she's very ADD. She's very high energy. When she was in studio, she was rocking in her chair. She was very high energy.
Yeah, the people listening could not see that. It was really weird.
No, I'm not saying, but just listening to her, you could get the she's very high energy. That's why she liked Rez and the whole everything changing. She's ADD. Without using it in a negative way, she needs multiple stimulation at one time.
Yeah. She, by the way, didn't even want to play it, just wanted to watch it. Yeah. Just wanted to watch me play. Like, here, play, right? It was like, wasn't doing much. But then I played, and all the sounds are going over, and it's going faster and whatever, because I was playing well. And she enjoyed that a lot, because, like, there's a lot of color, a lot of sound. She was saying it hit all the senses. So really impressed. But, like, historically, I have people come over and say, here, let's play Tetris Attack, right? And they love it. Now, maybe it's because the people I've played with in the past, like, they know the controller. They can move the D-pad around, up, down, left, and right, and, you know, it does what they expect. Even though my friends that I've had play this aren't gaming gurus, right? They're not me and Ara over here with every system under the sun. But
I wouldn't go that far, but, but it is kind of ridiculous.
I mean, she grabbed Tetris Attack and still had a hard time just moving stuff around.
That game's kind of interesting because, like, myself, somebody who plays games all the time, you know, there's something that, like, I don't know, just the way the rules are set up, I just don't understand, you know?
You don't understand Tetris Attack?
I mean, intellectually, right, I understand it, right? But as far as, like, you know, performing in the game, I'm just never going to be good at that game. There's just some kind of, like, disconnect about how the pieces interact with each other that just does not mesh well in my mind.
It takes practice. I've noticed this in a lot of games. There's multiple levels, and this is true, really, of anything in life, I think. There's certain levels of success. And so, like, stage one, obviously, you learn how to play the game. You learn basic mechanics. And a lot of puzzle games, there's a common thread between them all where, like, oftentimes you have to get three things together,
sure,
whether it be gems, balloons, orbs. In the case of Tetris Attack, it's blocks, right? Get three blocks together, and they disappear, right? And so that's stage one. You figure out the mechanics, you do that, and then the beginners are just constantly putting threes together. And then the next stage...
That would be me, by the way.
Yeah, and that's fine, right? But then you realize after playing it for a few minutes, if you played other puzzle games in your life, you realize, okay, wait, there's more to this. Why am I not beating the other person? It's because, well, there's no reward for hitting three blocks, right? You don't... or rather, there's no offensive maneuver that way. You don't send any blocks to the other character or anything like that.
Right.
And this is common across, like, every puzzle game where there's units of three. And so you realize, all right, well, I can do fours and fives, and that's pretty easy. Getting a four and a five together, I can see that happen real fast. That's the next stage. You realize, wait a minute, there's something more I can do, and you take it upon yourself to discover that. And then there's the concept of combos, which previously had happened totally by accident. But then you realize, well, wait a second, I got a bunch of red hearts together, and above those is a yellow star. And when the yellow star drops, it's going to hit the yellow star below the red hearts, and that's going to, you know, move away and make room for the purple diamonds, or the blue diamonds, or whatever they are. Anyway, and you start thinking on that third level. That's about as far as I've gotten. I don't know if there are further levels, but I had the same epiphany with Dance's Revolution at some point. Like, I'm not going to get into it because, well, it gets a little bit too far. But the point is, like, there's multiple levels, and you discover parts of the game, you realize, all right, as someone who's played the game a lot, you can educate someone else on how to get better at it and say, all right, first you have to identify what level they're at, identify their strength, say, all right, are you ready to move on? Can you discover the further part of the game, right? And it's tough introducing a game to someone at that very, very beginner level and then only having half an hour to hope that they enjoy it, right? Have you ever actually done this? I assume you have, right? You have people
What's
over
that, gun combos and Tetris Attack?
No. Like, bring people over and say, hey, you got to try this game, and they look at it and they're like,
Yeah, actually, there's, I could tell you a lot of stories about that.
Yeah.
But I hear some music right now.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a whole half a show left. If anyone wants to call in and comment to me about the experiments they've had Phone number is 866-536-1100. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Good evening, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We're back for another segment. My name's Alon. We have Adrian in studio, and Andrew, and now even Ara. Now, Ara, you wanted to keep talking about the same thing, right?
Yeah, actually, I have a pretty interesting story that I want to tell you about.
All right, we were just talking about, by the way, the experiment, right?
Right.
And how it went, and certain obstacles to gaming for some people. Sorry to cut in. Go ahead.
No problem. So, you know, I used to live in Texas, as you may know.
Yeah.
Then listeners don't. And, you know, I had this girlfriend in Texas, and, you know, interestingly enough, you know, video games just never came up for, like, you know, the year and a half that I knew her when I was there. But then just, like, one day, just for some reason, you know, she was like, okay, show me some video games or something. So I showed her Katamari Damacy.
Good choice.
And it was really interesting. One thing I really like to do, and I think you can really learn a lot from, is if you just give somebody a game and watch them play it and don't even say anything, you know, because if you start, like, you know, saying something, or if you start, you know, I mean, as an observer, right, if you want to do, like, an experiment type thing, right,
yeah.
I mean, you introduce bias into the whole thing, right? And if you just watch how they react to things, you know, just completely without any outside influence, you can really learn a lot. So one thing that was really, you know, that was really interesting about, you know, my girlfriend playing this game for the first time is that, like, I always thought that that game was, you know, one of the most simplest games ever. I mean, you know, all you basically do is you just move these two sticks around. You know, there's no buttons, not really. I mean, yeah, you can press a couple of them, but they don't do that much.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, you know, this is, you know, the perfectly accessible game for someone who doesn't play games. You know, let me introduce this to her.
See, no, that game, actually really hard to control.
Well, this is what I learned, and I learned it the hard way, and I watched her play it, and, you know, I realized, wow, you know, these analog joysticks, they're actually exceptionally cumbersome to manipulate, particularly in the context of that game, where you have to use basically both of them in concert to move your ball around.
Yeah. It's weird because, you know, someone like you or I picked it up and go, all right, how do you control it? This is weird. And then as soon as you realize how it works,
right,
oh, it's tank style.
Exactly.
Okay, bam, cake. And you're, you know, rolling that ball around the house and picking up cats and everything with no problem.
Right, and we pretty much ignore the fact that, like, you know, when you're, you know, holding those those sticks in both directions or whatever, your fingers tend to keep slipping off all the time. And,
yeah,
you know, we just kind of, like, take that for granted, you know? And, I mean, we just assume that that's the way it is and we're comfortable with it. But, you know, people who don't play games, you know, that's, like, a really huge thing.
No, you're absolutely right about that. It's one of the few games where it does feel very, very simple, but isn't at all, except, I don't know, it's weird, because for us it is super simple.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then, I mean, you can think back to, like, Marble Madness, which is sort of, I mean, you might think of it as a predecessor or something.
Right. That's another interesting game, too, because the interface there is, once again, I mean, even simpler, right? You've got this freaking trackball. That's all
yeah.
you have.
Super simple in concept, but really hard to actually master.
Right, I mean,
or to even do, like, medium level well in that game,
yeah,
is hard.
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons for that is, like, you know, when you're pushing this trackball around, you know, you actually have to give it a whole bunch of input just to get your ball to move a little bit. And that kind of indirectness of the control, I mean, I'm sure there is a perfectly good reason for it, and I'm sure that, you know, that was absolutely deliberate in that game, and, you know, that makes a specific effect on the player when you're playing in long term. But, like, for initial accessibility concerns, you know, that makes the ball kind of hard to control right away.
So, I mean, I figure what we've learned from this segment is that balls are hard.
Yeah. In the most non-gay way possible. Going back to the first segment.
All right. I just got to squeeze one of those in every segment. The people on the chat room apparently are prepubescent and love this stuff. My double meanings there. Getting a big kick out of it.
So they love the first segment.
A big kick in the nuts. They loved that first segment.
Well, because I was talking about getting them drunk.
Yeah. They were talking about being drunk yesterday while the show was supposed to be happening. I was like, listen, we got to get off that. We got kids in here, and they're going to think bad things. And they bring up the stuff where I was talking about, well, listen, I'm not going to go back there.
As long as they're not my kids, they can be drunk. I don't care.
All right. Good. I don't want to even know what your kids are going to do in 10 years. All right. So, yeah, accessibility is it's a big mystery. I mean, like, from a game designer's point of view, this is something I'm sure you study a lot, right? This,
yeah. Ironically enough, you know, a lot of times in game development, because, you know, you have so many people working on a project and you're working on this project all day long every day for, you know, months or years, you know, and everyone, you know, everyone in the game industry kind of like, you know, kind of understands this, but you don't really, really appreciate it until you've actually been through the process yourself. And that is that, you know, when you're making a game, you kind of internalize all these assumptions about, you know, what you need to do in this game, what are the, like the communication devices that the game uses. And so, you know, you kind of, all these assumptions when they're presented, when you're presenting, you know, this game to someone who hasn't played it before, you realize that like, wow, they're having trouble with all these things that I didn't even think of, you know? And even though like the game designer is supposed to be like making the game for the player, you know, because they're so deep into it, inevitably you have to, you end up kind of making it for yourself in a way, no matter how much you try not to.
See, I've actually heard that a lot, but then you were telling me that you're not a huge fan of focus groups, which is really to get the designers away from that and be like, all right, what do the people really think and how are they really dealing with the game?
Right. Well, my criticism of focus groups is mostly that, not really of the idea of it itself, but usually the way that they're normally conducted, which is that a lot of times they're like, they're verbal, right? They ask you questions. You know, they're like, oh, do you like this? Do you like that? There's like an interviewer a lot of times. And those kinds of things introduce all kinds of bias, you know, especially if you have like a bunch of gamers that are interacting with one another. I mean, the data you get from that can be just completely useless because you can introduce bias in all these different ways.
See, I imagine that, like, that's the Microsoft focus group. That's like, before the 360 came out, like, hey, what name do you like? Xbox 3? Xbox 360? Huh?
Yeah, well.
Way better.
And then you have a plan in there. No, I love the 360. That's the greatest name ever.
And then people are like, all right, well, the next one's going to be the Xbox 720. I go, no, 1080, man.
Well, you know,
more, that's extreme.
More numbers are better, obviously. So, yeah. You know.
And with a degree symbol.
But don't you almost get lost when you're making the game? Don't you get lost in it and you almost need someone else's opinion? Because what you think is going to work or what you think sounds good or is beautiful might not, because it's your baby. You get lost.
You absolutely do. But the thing is, like, I mean, you... The best way to really evaluate is, you know, like I was saying before, you know, you give the game to the player, you let them play it, you just watch. You don't tell them how to do anything. You don't give them any kind of, like, coaching. You don't, I mean, don't even give them any, don't give them anything that puts any kind of expectation in their head. Just watch what they do. You'll see what the problems are in your game.
Well, because you're not going to be there when... You know, they open up the game on Christmas. You're not going to be able to explain it to them. So you have to let the game speak for itself. And, I mean, that's one of the reasons there's a lot of tutorial levels in games now, right?
And the 900 number that you used to call for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. Hey, you need help with this game.
Is that
call
still
us
around?
For $5. Yeah. I'm sure it's somewhere.
That's actually really funny to me. But I never called those.
I think we need to change. That's our mission from now on. We need to change the focus groups, the way they're conducted for video games.
Well, I actually considered at one point creating a company which was just like a professional focus group.
Sorry, I should say that, you know, there are a bunch of companies that are really, you know, doing these, you know, focus groups or whatever you want to call them, these studies the right way, you know.
There's... I did one at Harmonix once, and it was very much like what you're describing. I mean, they did tell us basic controls and all, but it was for frequency after frequency was already released. It was regarding the network function of it, which was being added later when the network adapter came out. And so they basically said, all right, well, here's the network function. Go in there, play it, and have fun. Right? And then watch us play for a while. So it was kind of like what you're describing.
Yeah, then that's the right way to do it. You know, the wrong way is, you know, like they have in the Simpsons episode where, you know, everyone who likes, you know, like, you know, realistic down-to-earth scenarios raise their hand, and everyone raises their hand. And, okay, who likes, you know, outrageous monsters and fantasy stuff, and everyone raises their hand again.
Yeah. Well, they did sit us down afterwards and discuss it. So, I mean, there were words involved. It wasn't...
Right. I guess that's cool, I guess, but I just question, like, you know, how useful is that? I don't think it's that useful.
I agree with the group setting's got to be a little bit different, because you're going to feel a little peer pressure. If someone, if the guy next to you that was kicking your butt in the game or did much better says, well, I don't like this, your peer pressure is going to be like, well, I didn't like that either because he didn't like it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, I mean, it's like, it's a classic psychological phenomenon, right? I mean, you have a group of people, one guy takes a dominant view and, you know, he's very like alpha about it. And everyone else just kind of like, oh, just adopts that viewpoint because it seems to be among the social group, like, you know, oh, this is the accepted thing.
That's why we need to change focus groups.
There you go.
Are you on a mission now?
I'm on a mission now.
Damn it.
I'm going to get focus groups changed.
Can we get you to, like, hold up a sign with Pac-Man on the top on the corner of the highway? I-10 and baseline. Be like, change video game focus groups.
Yes. I'm going to do it.
All right. Yeah, that would be an interesting thing to
see. And then fly me out, and I'll do it in your city, too. I'll go to Canada.
Hey, everybody, it's Adrian from the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, here to tell you that focus groups blow!
Hey, can I at least be your sidekick or something?
Yeah, yeah, it's all good.
You can run the board.
And then I'll get all the underage kids drunk.
Yeah, that's the plan. You can leave your kids with me that weekend.
Okay.
And I'll get them drunk. And high. All right, so now we've talked about accessibility, and we've talked about focus grouping. Now, do you think that... I mean, have you ever worked on a game where you gained something truly valuable from the focusing that happened? Or did you actually work on anything that had focusing?
You know, I have to admit that, you know, the projects I've worked on before, I haven't actually been a part of a focus group per se.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, one of the things that we did on, you know, a project that I was on before was that, you know, it was actually interesting because one time we were showing our game at E3, and, I mean, depending on, you know, if you make time for the schedules, time in schedules and stuff like that, you know, you either get a chance to actually do all this testing stuff, which is extremely important, or, you know, as it usually goes, you know, everyone's strapped for time and you have hardly enough time to just even do, you know, the most basic things. And unfortunately, a lot of these things just kind of get fallen by the wayside. But anyway, you know, when we were showing our game at E3, you know, it was extremely valuable just to watch people come up and play the game. And, you know, we would realize things about it that we were just like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, that guy, you know, would get this idea from, you know, whatever interaction we had in our game. And we learned a lot from it.
Were you recording that on video?
No, we weren't. But, I mean, you know, we'd take notes and stuff. I mean, it would probably be better to record on video. But on the other hand, like, I mean, it was our stuff that we made. So we knew what it was. And, yeah. You know.
See, I have fun at E3 watching the designers watch the people play. I get a kick out of that, honestly. I've seen it happen a couple times. Anyway, we're going to be back after these messages with another smart attack, everybody. I'm sure you're used to it. I love it. And it might even be a good one. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. I want to remind everybody of our phone number. It's 866-536-1100. I know there are some people listening because they're in the chat room right now. If you want to get on that, by the way, chatterboxgameshow.com. You can just click on Chatterbox Live Chat.
Any takers on me going out to protest in their town?
You know what? I don't think we've gotten the response yet, but they can always email me, Alon@chatterboxgameshow. And they'll see that. Anyway, got to remind everybody, uat.edu, the University of Advancing Technology. Advancing technology. Got to enunciate. That's where I went.
To get the business, right?
Once. Well, I mean, first I went somewhere else, then I went there. Because that first one wasn't good enough. Then I went.
That was a real college, the first one. And then you went to this one.
And I went to this one. That's how important it was. So anyway, moved down to Phoenix, go to school. It's a good time. You can get in the industry. And hang out with Ara, myself, and Adrian, even Andrew. He needs some people to hang out with him in the room over there. He's all by himself.
In his nice purple shirt.
Anyway, so I promised everybody a smart attack. And I had said that I spoke to Nathan Smart. He said to me, Alon, your video game experiment that you run, it really hit home for me. It hit me right there down in the cockles. And here's what I have to say about it. So anyway, listen, Nathan, I want you to tell me what you thought. Are we ready, Andrew? Are we able to bring him into the studio? All right, Nathan, here you go.
Thanks, Alon. Last week's episode was an eye-opener for me. It really shattered my image of the gamer we all know and love. It's amazing to see non-gamers who don't like games getting into games, and also to see gamers play games out of their normal, comfortable game genres. Games. Alon did a really great job with the experiment, and I think changed a lot of people's minds on the issue. With that said, I decided to do my own experiment and see just how great Alon did. I asked two of my friends, Alana, a girl who never plays games, and Mike, a guy who only plays first-person shooters and sports games, to come over to the house and play some of the games that I love to play. I took a different approach in that I only used Japanese games in order to stretch the bounds of the experiment, and also to show off how obscure my references could be, and let me tell you, the results were astounding. For Alana, I chose two games, Super Princessu Hausklina, which translates into Super Princess House Cleaner, and Burumiakasu, which translates to Bulimiacs. Alana seemed to really take to these two games. She especially had a ball making record times in the bathroom run and jar disposal minigames in Bulimiacs. She initially told me that she didn't like video games, but she changed her mind when she actually sat down to play them. I think the defining moment came when she was washing dishes and cooking me dinner, and also when she played Super Princess House Cleaner. After the experience, she told me that she would definitely be going out to buy a video game system, and asked which one was the cutest, and which one would match her new IKEA love seat. I told her the Neo Geo, definitely. For Mike, I went an entirely different route. I chose Barusu, which translates to balls, and Uruturu Dura Tenka Efa, which translates to Ultra Dude Tank Effort. Mike didn't like either game. He said that he loves sports and FPS games for a reason, and that these two games really didn't have what he was looking for. They made him feel uncomfortable. Ironically, though, he did like the games that Alana played. He was quoted as saying, "These are so stupid and dumb and funny. Can I borrow these to show my dudes how stupid and dumb these are? I just want them for like a month because they're that dumb and stupid that it would take that long for me to show my dudes how dumb and stupid and funny they are." Who knew that Macho Mike would be into girl games? And there you have it, Alon. It looks as if our studies, while being the same in nature, resulted in slightly different results. We got a girl to get into video games, just like you did, but we also got a guy to kind of admit that he's gay. We also found out that gay people really like sweet games. And that's all for this week's Smart Attack.
Oh, I love you, Nathan Smart. I want to play Saupa Hausklina today, damn it. So there you have it. Nathan really, really enjoyed the experiment that we ran and did a good job of his own. Interestingly, he chose a game called Balls, and we were talking about ball games with our own future experiments. So that's something that I wanted to talk about before as well.
Balls?
Yes, balls.
Are we get back on this topic?
This is coming up over and over for some
reason. We need
one
every segment. I told you it's important to put that in. We've got to appease the masses. But I want to talk about, like, in the future, we're gonna do this again. I'm thinking, you know, a month-ish when there's time, when I have a weekend free with my very busy schedule. And so... like, how do you think we should run this? Where obviously, we need games with simple control. That's step number one.
Maybe we should be, like, just really evil and just see what they do with some absolutely ridiculously difficult games.
Like Thunder Force? Or
what about the Tank Effort game?
The Tank Effort game? We could do that. No, like, we could give them Worms, which is impossible to understand if you've never seen it. Do you play Worms?
Yeah, I've played it a few times.
All right, so you understand, like... what do I do?
That
Kamikaze?
Lemming game you gave me.
Which game?
The Lemming one that I...
Lemmings?
Yeah.
For PSP. Dude, that's hard.
Yeah.
Lemmings is just tough. But yeah, we could do Worms. Yeah.
Or like Battletoads or something.
Or Dimahu.
Battletoads.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I know that's a different one, but they joined forces Turtle there. Power. For one great Nintendo game. The best of all time. But, like, okay, so we want simple control. Let's be serious here. We want to get something that's simple to play, something that has some sort of appeal to at least prove an appeal to other people. So, like, Katamari, once you sort of explain the controls, you get into it. I think Super Monkey Ball is a good choice, though.
Oh,
more,
yeah, definitely.
More ball games, of course. They work really well.
That was my suggestion from last week, right?
I think you did mention
all
it,
right.
yeah.
I'm just checking.
I thought about it ahead of time, too, though.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, I was on top of things.
Yeah. No, you weren't.
But, like, I think that'd be a good choice. And I'm curious what the results would be. Of course, I want to put a puzzle game in there as well, because I still have to test this. I guess it's only a theory now. It's going to become law, I suspect. Anyway, you guys are just staring at me blankly.
No. I think a party game as a Super Monkey Ball or a Mario Smash Brother would work.
Yeah.
Katamari would work. And maybe do like a Guitar Hero, even though it sucks, or a DDR, or something like that.
Or how about, what was that other game we were playing, or we were trying to play this weekend?
Rez?
Geometry Wars?
Geometry Wars. Oof.
That could be interesting.
That is a good game. That would actually be interesting, because it's so simple, yet difficult. All right. So, people could have called in at 866-536-1100 and made suggestions.
Our listeners like are afraid of us.
They are. I don't know what happens.
You shouldn't be afraid, everybody.
I've only choked one listener.
You've worked at other stations. You've seen FM radio.
Yes.
Lights up like mad. We ask for listeners. We solicit. And no one's calling in for this. Anyway, listen, there was another subject I wanted to tackle over here. And we only have another, like, 2 minutes. So I don't even know if we should get into this. Maybe we should save this till next week.
Tease it.
Yeah. Okay.
Radio turn.
Here's what I'm going to do. So, like I said, Ara has some experience in the video game industry. He certainly talks to other people who do. And, it seems to me, like, when I go to shows, E3, and get to actually hang out with designers and stuff, and hear them chit-chatting, there's apparently a lot of stuff that actually happens, a lot of game development that happens in the world that we never get to see. And it makes me curious, like, there's got to be a lot of great games out there stuck in people's gaming libraries that never saw the light of day. And I certainly heard rumors about this back in the day when PlayStation was so huge, so many different games were being made. I'd certainly love to know about the sort of games that never came out that were actually good. And I guess there's actually a website, The Lost Levels. Nathan Smart was telling me about this. Have you heard of this site?
Actually, I haven't heard of it.
They, like, buy up prototypes with the intention of releasing them publicly and all sorts of things.
Interesting.
And so they get a hold of a lot of games that people don't ever play and try to introduce them to the world. And so I'd certainly like to talk to you about any experiences you've had with that. It might be hard for you to talk about games you've actually worked on, but certainly I'm sure you've heard stories. Or just... what happens when you make a game and the agony of it not actually coming out? That's got to suck.
We can have a fun show next time for sure.
We'll be back next week, as always, but it's going to be Monday. Monday at 9. Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. We'll have... are you going to be back, Ara, next week?
Actually, next week, I may or may not be in L.A., depending on circumstances.
All right. Well, you're welcome back anytime. Thank you, everybody. We will be back.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.